Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we are joined by a young man who just finished his first 50 miler. And Jacob and I actually haven't ever met, but we've been tracking each other on Strava and kind of social media, found out we're both going to go up and do this James River Trail thing. And then he finished, and I was just so intrigued by his Instagram post after he finished. And I was like, oh, dude, I got to get this guy on the podcast because this guy is defining what living an ultra life is all about. And so without further ado, let's bring in Mr. Jacob McLean. Jacob, ready to go for a run?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, man. So let's start out. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where do you live? Family, all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, thanks for the kind words. That means a lot. I live here in Virginia Beach. So that's actually how I found this podcast. I saw that you were the local legend of Old Trashmore, and that's kind of what got me churning on this. But I grew up in Iowa, spent the vast majority of my life on a farm, went to college, ended up out here on the East Coast for graduate school. Joined the Navy shortly after that, and just here within the past couple of years, found ultra running.
Wow. Okay, so Iowa farm boy out here in the Navy. What do you do in the Navy?
I'm an instructor right now.
Okay, cool. So are you, you're only 30, so you got to be what, like a lieutenant?
Yep, absolutely. Good job.
All right, so there you go. So yeah, I know my rank's just a wee bit. Cool.
You
well, thank you for serving. So tell us about your family.
Yeah, so my wife, Katie, she was a public school teacher here up until about 3 months ago. We just had our first kiddo, had a son here back in December.
That's got to be fantastic. That's cool. How did you get into the running? Where did this come from?
It started, I guess, back last August. So it's been a fairly short runway to go from where I was then to, you know, finishing that 50 miler last weekend. But I saw that the Neptune 8K was happening here down on the beachfront, and I just texted my brother. He still lives back in Iowa, and I was like, hey, man, you want to do this? I'd kind of needed a little bit of motivation, you know, just to train for something more than, you know, our annual PRT, which is a mile and a half. So
right,
something just to push myself. And from there, you know, as I was trying to build up a little bit of inspiration to finally get out there and start getting the miles in so that I could get the time that I was looking for, I found these ultra running documentaries on YouTube, and I just started binging them every chance I had. You know, I was watching these, and then I started kind of finding the podcast, and those were just fueling the training. And from there, I just kind of progressed on up in the mileage.
That's amazing. So you start out with the Neptune 8K, and then was your first ultra, was that the sunrise to sunset?
Yep, absolutely. Up there at First Landing.
That is cool. So, and now how, what was like your longest run before sunrise to sunset?
Oh boy. I want to say it was 17 miles. You know, anything below that probably would have been 12 or 13, I guess. I did a half marathon in Norfolk while I was training for it, but I think 17 was the furthest that I pushed. So it was definitely a pretty steep learning curve, but you know, that's what's so interesting about that race too. And, you know, it's a 5K every hour on the hour. And I thought that that would be more kind of manageable to increase that much in volume. But truthfully, now looking back on it, I think it was way harder having that break in between those laps.
Yeah, because you got to figure out what to do with yourself. You know, you go run a 5K, which, you know, I mean, 30 to, you know, 40 minutes probably. So you're going to have 30 to 40 minutes before you can get back up and go do it again. So it's a tough race.
Yeah, it was wretched. And it was raining pretty much all morning.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was a tough introduction, but no, it was great too. And you know, at that time, my son was just a little bit over a month old, and my wife just brought him along, and they set up camp in the car. So being able to see them in that, you know, little 20, 25 minute gap was awesome. And definitely was thankful for that once I hit about loop 7, because from there my legs were just toast.
That is so awesome. So then you're crazy. This is how I know that you've got to be insane, because you decide, hey, I'm going to go run my first 50 miler. And oh, let's just add this vert thing to this. Had you ever run hills before?
No, apart from Trashmore. I mean, it just kind of worked out that, there's only so many 50 milers within a radius of here that kind of hit that timeline that would work for both of us. So it was just like, all right, I'm just going to have to figure out the 5,000 feet of vert part of it. And I mean, as you know well, Virginia Beach is not the place for that. So it was a lot of time just running up and down that hill.
Mount Trashmore. It's so funny. I have friends all over the United States and they see me on Strava and they're like, seriously, is it a mound of trash? And I'm like, it is seriously a trash dump that they made into a park. And it's our only hill that isn't a bridge made out of concrete. So if you're going to do anything in the trail running to get that off camber, you've got to go to Mount Trashmore. So yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, 100%. I think about that, the long-term effects of that. I have to wonder of just huffing and puffing up and down a big old pile of trash if that's going to do anything, but we'll see. Time will tell.
Back when I was still in the Navy, it was 1992, and I was here. One of the radio stations had an April Fool's Day joke where they said that Mount Trashmore was about to blow up because the methane had built up and Mount Trashmore was about to blow up. It panicked the entire city. It was hilarious. But yeah, that DJ wasn't on the radio much
Oh
longer
no.
after that.
Yeah,
But
probably not.
it was crazy. And so now every time I go running up Mount Trashmore, I'm thinking, damn, this thing could blow up, So yeah. So you did a lot of Mount Trashmore miles, and what was your longest run between sunrise to sunset and the James River Trail 50 miler?
I guess 10 miles, maybe 12 miles.
Wow. Was any of that on trails or was that on pavement?
Just a little bit of trails. There's a little trail pretty close to my house, but it's like maybe a half mile. So
Okay.
that's really all I was getting.
Okay.
But yeah, I was just trying to go with more of a general volume. In the
Right.
mornings, I would get up at 4 a.m. and do 10 miles. And I did that, 4 or 5 days in a row.
Okay.
And that was kind of to at least stimulate that getting some miles in a pretty consistent basis over a short amount of time. But I mean, as you know, the time that it takes to train for these things is just insane. And
It is.
working full time and just trying to be present too, with having a newborn at home, I couldn't do those runs in the afternoon because it would just take all of the hours that I get with them.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and it's got to be a little bit tougher with the newborn and with, your wife, adjusting to motherhood and everything. That's got to be quite the balancing act you've got going on right now.
It is. I could not do it without her support in this, though, because, I signed up for the race before I told her I did. So when she woke up that.
I've never signed up for a race and then told my wife later that
Yeah, I don't
she just
recommend
glared at me. She's sitting here
it.
beside me. She just glared at me. So
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, she handled it really well, because she could see what it means to me, but. She's just been on board from the beginning, and that has made it so much easier in order to carve out that time to get those miles.
that's
But
awesome. Now, during sunrise to sunset, Katie and Graham hung out sunrise to sunset. So Graham had to been what, about a month and a half? 6 weeks, maybe?
exactly. Yeah, just
Oh my
under.
gosh. And so they just hung out. And how did you fuel and hydrate during sunrise to sunset? What were your strategy?
So I was treating that truly as kind of my learning moment for the 50 miler. I just experimented with quite a bit. So I was doing goos when I would kick off the lap, and then I would try and take one at the end of the lap. I'd crush a peanut butter sandwich and a banana kind of every other lap. And then at that time I was just doing water. I ended up introducing Tailwind and some other liquid calories in the training block moving up to the 50 miler, which ended up working really well. But thankfully, my gut has proven to be along for the ride. It has not
Good.
given.
That's awesome. And so what were Katie and Graham doing when you were out running? Just hanging or what? Yeah, how did she entertain Graham all that
Yeah,
time?
she laid the seats down. We have a traverse, and she laid that back row down and had his little bouncer set up. And then when he was sick of that, she'd lay him down on a little play mat or she'd hold him. So they were just literally hanging out. Because again, it was raining on and off. So like being
Right.
outside, obviously with a 1 month old, was kind of out of the question. But yeah, they just chugged along in there and made the best of the time they could.
Well, kudos to them. So that's awesome. Let's jump into James River Trail. What did you think when you started out the race on Saturday morning?
Oh, I was just happy to get moving. You know, I did not sleep well that night before.
Okay.
A lot of nerves, a lot of worry too, just because it had rained those 2 days prior to the race. And, you know, I don't own any trail shoes. I've never used trail shoes. I've only had my road shoes. And as you know, we talked about earlier, most of my training, probably 95%, has been on roads. So I was real worried about how my road shoes were going to fare within the trails themselves. I mean, I reached out to you, I think, a week prior to kind of talk through that. And we both were just like, yeah, better just stick with what you know. So that was kind of a big source of anxiety until I got running. And that first lap was great. I probably did it a little too fast, but just being able to see, I mean, it had such diversity of the landscape that you were looking at, you know, a few big climbs. And I felt so much better after I did each of those three big climbs once to kind of just be able to settle in to the remaining laps.
Yeah. So now, did you and Katie, did you camp out at the state park?
No, I figured that might be a little bit too much to throw on her. So we kind of met in the middle. I was like, you know what? We'll make a little vacation out of this. So we went to Richmond for 2 nights, got a hotel downtown and just enjoyed that. And then we got an Airbnb probably 20 minutes from the state park.
So first lap you got done. What was your impression of that first big climb up onto the ridgeline?
Oh, man. I mean, I was trying to just tell myself, all right, just take it slow, right? This is just a few trash moors kind of strung together. Is how I was thinking about it. But it scared me a lot less after that because, you know, vert was one of the big things that I was worrying about just because it's so hard to get 5,000 in a week, you know, here. But yeah, I just kind of was like, all right, this is manageable. I just need to do this five more times or four
more
times.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, that was a great climb. And it's like I always tell people, you can't simulate those type of climbs here in Virginia Beach. Because
No.
we don't have anything that length, that duration, the variation with all the turns and the twists and the false summits. And so, yeah, that was amazing. So how long did your first lap take you?
I think it was just a hair over 2 hours. It was like 2 hours and 8 minutes, 9 minutes, something like that.
Okay. Awesome. That's actually a well-paced first lap. So fueling in your first lap, what did you use?
So I packed 5 goos to bring along for each lap, and my goal was to consume those before I got back to the aid station, which I did up until the last lap. And then I had Tailwind in my water bottle, so I had 200 calories there. And that was it for while I was out on the course. And then same thing, when I got back to the aid station, that's where I did the peanut butter sandwich and a banana, and then got right back out.
Cool. So now, were you just doing like water, like plain water from the aid stations, or what were you doing for plain water?
Yep, exactly. So I'd do Tailwind to get to that aid station just beyond 6 miles into the loop. And then I would fill up with water there, chug some down while I was there, and then refill it again, and then hit that gravel stretch right after it.
Yeah, the river trail was a lot of fun, actually, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I kept thinking that would be my time to kind of get some time back. But boy, I was always spent after doing all the climbs. Once I got down to the river, I was like, oh.
I can imagine. I was fortunate. I only had to do that 3 times. You had to do it 5. So when you're getting ready, so all the 50K people were probably done well before you were out on your 5th lap, right?
Yeah. I mean, I had honestly a pretty hard time differentiating between everybody except for the people who were really scooting. But yeah, I think the vast majority of them were done by that time. Yeah.
So you're getting ready to head back out on, you know, probably finishing up your 4th loop. It was, had the sun gone down when you were in your 4th loop?
No.
Okay.
sun dropped probably my last 3 miles. So
oh, good. Okay.
Headlamps on basically when we got down towards the river.
Okay. Well, that's not bad at all. I thought
No.
some of you guys were going to be, in Headlamp City for a while.
There were a handful.
Cool. So who paced you on? Did you have a pacer for the fourth and the fifth, or just the last loop?
Yep, I used him for both. His name's Sam. When I got into ultra running, he was the only friend who I could think of who I knew had run an
Okay.
ultra or. So I hit him up, and he's kind of been my go-to to try and work out some of the nutrition, some of the training. And
Awesome.
he ended up coming down from Cincinnati, to join me for the race.
Wow, that's a good friend right there, man.
Oh, I
That's
know.
awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, you could say his last name. Sam, what's his last
Sam
name?
Pauly.
Okay, so Sam Pauly, hero moment right there, man, coming all the way down from Cincinnati to pace a friend the last 20 miles of his first 50 miler. That's amazing, dude. That's
Yeah,
a good friend. Stick with
I
that one.
definitely owe him. I'm gonna have to pace for him at some point.
There you go. That is awesome. So, what were your feelings as you're coming up that hill to the finish line, knowing you're about to cross the finish line for your first 50 miler? What were the feelings going through your head and your heart at that point?
Well, I think I was probably cursing out Dan for putting that hill right before the finish line. But once I got past that, it was just surreal. Truthfully, it did not feel like it was over. This has kind of been in the back of my mind for the past several months, and all I had done all day long, was just running up and down these hills, and I was pretty well beat by that point. I thought going into it that I would feel some, great pride or some great sense of achievement that, I had just done 50 miles, but none of that was there. I was really just thankful that I had Sam next to me. We had gotten a lot of great trail conversations in over the past 20 miles, and I was, it hit me that he had spent his whole day, his whole weekend, to come out and be with me. And then, to see Katie and see Graham, with Graham just strapped to her chest well past his bedtime, to see that they were still there, and that they had given up so much in order for me to do this crazy thing. Time, energy, emotional investment. Man, I was just so thankful and just so happy to be back with those people to spend the evening together and just talk about the day.
That's awesome. All right. So I want to jump into your Instagram post about your why.
Okay.
Because, dude, that moved me so much. So can you just, I know, don't read it, but I know it's part of who you are. Can you just kind of repeat a little bit about your Instagram post, the why that you do this crazy thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been just kind of in the back of my mind. It's actually something that I've been working on through the whole training block, and it all boils down to fatherhood and the relationship that I want to have with my son, how I want him to think of me, and when I go on my long runs, I'll do a lot of voice recordings. I call them my run-on thoughts, right? Love letters to my son. And it's all the things that I want to tell him about who I am, about the role that he's had within my life, to try and set that example, to show him that your dad is going to do anything to show up for you. And that's over the long term, and that's in the short term, that I'll be there, right? And I think that ultra running has just been one physical or just tangible way to show that commitment, right? If I'm willing to commit to the process that it takes to run 50 miles straight and shuffle the last 10, then God, what will I do to be there for you? It's just, I think a lot about how I want him to see me, and I've spent a lot of time just thinking about what fatherhood means, and this has just been kind of one way to make that a little bit more material.
Amazing. I really admire you for having that firm why and going out and chasing it for your son and for your wife and the future kids that are to come. I that's admirable, Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, I think you gotta, right? You gotta have some why because, boy, once you get past, I mean, for anybody, right? It's different. Whatever that distance is, or whatever that goal is, if you zoom out beyond running, right? Something that takes months to get the output that you're looking for, having that why is what makes you get up at 4 a.m. in the morning to get your miles in or get whatever it is that you're trying to achieve done. That's what keeps you on track with following that diet or following that nutrition plan or whatever it might be. And if I hadn't identified that, there were plenty of hurdles that would have derailed not only that 50 miler, but all of the steps that it took to get to that eventual point.
Awesome. So, any nicks or pains after the 50 miler?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I would say today is the first day I felt like I could just walk decently. I still got a little bit of a, I don't know, shuffle here. My right leg is pretty well beat up, but mainly just in the ankle. Kind of those tendons right there on the outboard side of the foot are pretty tender still.
Now that's called camber. So
Okay.
when you're running on pavement, every footfall is flat. So every
Yep.
footfall has a sure plant. When you're running on trails, none of your footfalls have a firm plant. They all are going left, right, up, down. So your ankles are moving constantly. So you're gonna have tender ankles for a little while. Don't worry, it's
Yeah,
part of the process.
that makes total sense. I think that is definitely one area for improvement is to be a little bit more intentional about getting on the trail before the next race.
If you enjoy trail run. So,
Yep.
find the trails. There's not many in the Virginia Beach area, but you can find them and run them. It'll make you better. Any future race plans?
So I don't currently have any on the schedule. Part of that is probably coming from a lack of confidence. I wanted to make sure that I could get this done before I signed up for any more. But I think I spent the weekend or the, Sunday and then Monday saying, I don't know, I might just take some time off, but these legs are coming back and I'm starting to get on ultra sign up and start
There you
scrolling.
go. The cursed word to our wives, ultra sign up.
Yeah.
So it's all fun. So let's start wrapping this thing up. All right. So this is what we ask everybody who comes on as a guest of the Living in Ultra Life podcast. So of course, name is Living in Ultra Life. When you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Probably, I think I touched on this a little bit earlier, but intentionality. You got to be intentional, in terms of training for an ultra marathon. And as you zoom that out and you start looking at what ultra running can teach you about life, right? The amount of opportunities that we have in a day to just get lost in whatever's in front of us. And I'm primarily thinking of like a cell phone right now and just the endless scrolling that happens and the minutes that turn into hours that you lose every day if you just sit there and consume. But when you can turn that around, when just like in the same way that it takes that dedication to not hit the snooze button, get up, go for that morning run so that you can hit that eventual weekly mileage goal and that bigger part of that larger training block, right? If you can do that on the daily with a little bit of intentionality, right? The conversations that you can have with the people who are sitting next to you, who might be complete strangers, that might completely open your world up to a whole new thing that you'd never thought about or never done. I think this is a perfect example. Seeing your Strava files from Trashmore, me reaching out to you, us talking about James River, and then us both ending up there running it, and now getting to have this awesome conversation, right? It's amazing what that intentionality can do. And I think that's part of living an ultra life.
There you go. Well, Jacob, welcome to the Ultra Running community. It's such a pleasure to have you be a part of this thing. And I know there are great, great things in your future because you've just got the right outlook and the right attitude, and you've definitely got the right why. So congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.